Hare Krishna.
The weather has changed. How nice to be here with you all again. And I hope you're all okay, happy in Krishna consciousness. I thought tonight we could, I thought we could read a verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is talking about how Krishna appears when he comes to this world. And I thought we could apply it in terms of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, who appeared, a couple of weeks ago. And even we have coming up in another week or whatever, is Lord Ram's appearance day, Ram Navami. So, we can look at that also. Would that be acceptable? Is that okay? Pardon me if I sniff slightly. I don't think it's very serious. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So thank you for coming again. It's wonderful to have your association. I'm going to read Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. And I am going to read text 6. Anyone know text 6, chapter 4, verse 6? It's not as well known as verse 7. Yada, yada, yada. But anyway, that's 7. But 6, I'll just read 6. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swam krishtaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Translation. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of his birth. Although he may appear like an ordinary person, he remembers everything of his many, many past, quote-unquote, births. Whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly at the same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for a common man to answer immediately. He would surely have to dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. You are not common people. You are devotees. So I think you can remember what you are doing one day before. people sitting here hearing about Srila Prabhupada. But the day before that, okay. Anyway, it's a very good point. So people can't remember what they're doing exactly at the same time, one day before. And yet, men often dare claim to be God or Krishna. One should not be misled by such meaningless claims. Then again, the Lord explains his prakriti or his form. Prakriti means nature, as well as swarup, or one's own form. The Lord says that he appears in his own body. He does not change his body, as the common living entity changes from one body to another. The conditioned soul may have one kind of body in the present birth, but he has a different body in the next birth. In the material world, the living entity has no fixed body, but transmigrates from one body to another. The Lord, however, does not do so. Whenever he appears, he does so in the same original body, by his internal potency. In other words, Krishna appears in this material world in his original eternal form, with two hands holding a flute. He appears exactly in his eternal body, excuse me, uncontaminated by this material world. Actually, the purport goes on. Oh, it really goes on. It's a long purport. It's about 3 pages. So, but that gives us a basic idea, a pretty good basic idea. So, yes, in a general sense, in a general sense, these are facts as stated by the Lord himself. And because his appearance in this world is different from ours, and the nature of his body is different, the nature of his activities is different, and just everything about him, well, so many things about him are different. For example, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he appeared as a child, and then he grew up. But by the time he was 10, he looked like he was 16 to 18. The period in life is called Kishore, means youth. And Krishna looked the same for the remaining 115 years he was present on this planet. He looked the same. And that's why when you look on the cover of Bhagavad Gita, I'm sure you've all seen, hopefully you've all got at home Bhagavad Gita, and hopefully you read it. And you see on the cover, what do you see? You see Krishna and Arjuna. They are on the chariot. And Krishna looks like a young person. Like we said, 16, 18 maybe. That phase of life. But at the time that Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he was already approximately 90 90 years old. Nobody here is 90. Anyone here 80? Anyone here 70? We have a 70-year-old. Okay. We're all working on it. We'll get there. So of course, Mataji is a devotee. She's 70 or so. And therefore, because she's a devotee and she's vegetarian and lives a purified life, she looks good. She looks great. But when Krishna was 90, Krishna looked like Rishi. So how old are you now? 17. Okay, and Krishna looked like Rishi. He said, a handsome young man. Seriously. And that's why Krishna on the cover of Bhagavad Gita, he looks like that. And Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita, in which they're his prayers to the Lord, Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, the creator. And he says about Krishna in this regard, Adyam Purana Purusham Nava Yovanam Cha. Can you understand that? Shouldn't be too difficult. Adyam, he is the original person. Purana Purusham means the most ancient person. Not just old, but ancient. Nava Yovanam Cha. But he looks like Nava Yovanam means a new youth, fresh youth, prime of life, sweet 16, as in the case of Rishi, sweet 17. And just look at him, just wonderful. Just wonderful. Absolutely just sort of at the natural peak. So this is Krishna. And similarly with Lord Ram, same thing. Lord Ram. You don't see pictures of Lord Ram, do you? He is going grey. And he's old. Lord Ram with walking stick, struggling along, you know. No. Because he never looked like that. He never looked like that. He was always looking in the prime of life as a young man. So this is what Krishna is saying here. Ajopi san. Aja means ja, janma means birth. And aja means without birth. So, these are just some things we thought we would mention. And of course, shortly, Ram Navami is coming. What is it now? It's on Friday, isn't it, next week? Right. And that's, of course, a very wonderful day. Lord Ram showing how right always triumphs over wrong, at least in the long run, in due course, and how taking shelter of the Supreme Lord is always the best thing. You know, there's, and also showing Lord Ram, he appreciated if there was any devotion even a little bit, he appreciated Lord Ram. You may know when Vibhishan, one of Ravana's brothers, came from Lanka, leaving Ravan to join Lord Ram, because he was a devotee, although he was born in that family of Rakshasas means not just meat eaters, that's sort of bad enough, but Rakshasa means cannibal, eater of human beings. And he came in to land. He flew across from Lanka, came into land, and Angada saw him coming in some sort of flying vehicle. And Angada said to Lord Ram, "Look, it's Vibhishan, the brother of Ravan. Let's kill him, because he's one of them, one of the Rakshasas." And Lord Ram said, "No, let's wait, see. Let him land, we'll see what he wants, why he's coming. There's only one of him, and there's so many of us." And Angada, he wanted just to kill him. So anyway, then Vibhishan landed, and Angada said to Lord Ram, "Just let me kill him. That's all, simple. Then we don't have to worry. What does he want? Is he going to trick us or something?" But Lord Ram said, "No. Let us see what he wants." And then Vibhishan approached Lord Ram and threw himself at the lotus feet of Lord Ram and said, "My Lord, from this day on, I am yours." And Angada, getting really excited, Angada said to Lord Ram, "Don't listen to him. He's a demon. He's a Rakshasa. He's trying to fool us, take advantage of us. Let me kill him." And he said, "The only good demon is a dead demon." And Lord Ram got angry with Angada and said, "Listen, even if Ravan came and said that to me, I would immediately accept him. Even Ravan, I would immediately accept him." And then Lord Ram said, "Anyone who approaches me and says, 'My Lord, from this day on, I'm yours,'" Lord Ram said, "I will never forget him. I'll never forget him. Whatever may happen in the meantime, but I'll never forget him." So Lord Ram is very kind, very merciful, to anyone who has just a little devotion. You know the story of Hanuman and the, what was it? Was it the squirrel or the spider?
Is it the one thing
about the squirrel? I think it's the squirrel. They're on the beach, they're building the bridge. Boulders and whatnot they're throwing in, and they're all floating. But there was one squirrel, and he was a devotee, and he wanted to serve also. So he's picking up little pebbles and things and throwing them in. They were also floating, but Hanuman and company, they have these massive mountains and boulders. And Hanuman and his friends running up and down the beach, sometimes they would almost tread on the squirrel. And so they kind of lose their momentum, you know. Down, up, down, up. This momentum rhythm they had going. then they'd have to jump to avoid squashing the squirrel. So Hanuman stopped and said, "Listen, you want to help? Then stop trying to help. Just get out of the way and let us do the real work around here." And the poor squirrel was very disappointed. But Lord Rama heard that, and he came and chastised Hanuman that I appreciate his service as much as yours, because just like you, he is serving me to his full capacity, giving everything. So some of us may be squirrels, some of us may be Hanumans. Well, I don't know, we have so many Hanumans, but some can do more than others, you know what I mean. Some are bigger and stronger, some are not so big, and some have more resources at their disposal, and so like that. But the main thing is, we try our real best to please the Lord. Once Prabhupada was in, when he was in Bombay one day, one very wealthy businessman, industrialist, from one of the big families, came to visit Prabhupada and to give a donation. He gave 1 lakh of rupees, 100,000 rupees, which in those days was more than $10,000. Now it's less than two, but anyway, in those days it was like 8 rupees to a dollar when I first went to India. 8 rupees to a dollar, 15 rupees to a pound. So anyway, this man, and he gave the money cash to Prabhupada, 100,000 rupees. And he was expecting Prabhupada to say, "Oh, thank you so much. That's just wonderful. You are so generous and kind." But Prabhupada, understanding this sort of proud, sort of arrogant mentality, Prabhupada looked at him and said, Krishna is not interested in how much you give. He is interested in how much you do not give. Because for someone to give 100 rands relative to their situation, it may be a lot more than someone else giving 100,000 rands. It may be a lot more. Right, so Lord Ram, very wonderful, and his appearance day is coming up. I will be, if all goes well, which we don't know, but anyway, I will be in Dubai. Mm. Yes, and we have lots of devotees in Dubai. Mm. We have, I don't know, at least 1,000, if not more, like real practicing devotees. So we'll have a nice program there, and I'm sure you'll have a wonderful program here. Very good. Let's say something about Lord Chaitanya. It was his appearance day. What was that? On the 27th of March. And that's a very important day. You know, ultimately, in one sense, it's even more important than Ram Navami, you know. At least in the sense that Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of the Lord for Kali Yuga. He's the Yuga avatar, as described in scripture, the incarnation of the Lord, who appears in order to teach the particular process of religion which is most effective at that particular time in that age in terms of the circumstances. And of course we know that that is the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya appeared to teach that and demonstrate it, and to show and demonstrate how to be a devotee, how to practice Krishna consciousness, God consciousness in this age, what to do, how to orient your life properly in the Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya, he appeared. Well, his appearance, it's very interesting. There's a description in one book, Swapna Vilas Amrita, Amritam. There's a description there. Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani are together in a place called Niduvan. It is in Vrindavan town. How many of you have been to Vrindavan town? One, two. Okay, a fair number. And the rest of you, when are you going? Why are you not being? You must go. So in Vrindavan town, there is this one, sort of like a garden area, right in the center, pretty much, of the town. It is called Niduvan. Van means forest or garden come forest area, like that. And Nidu means to sleep. So Niduvan then means the forest of sleeping. And there, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna go at the end of the night, after they have been dancing the whole night. Then, just before sunrise, something like that, 4 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock, just around that time, they go to that Niduvan, and then they rest there. They take rest there. And when the sun is really starting to rise, then they go home. So this one morning then, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, there they were, resting, and suddenly Radharani just woke up just like that, with a bit of a shock. And she woke up Krishna and said, "Oh, my Lord, you know what? I had a dream. I had the most amazing dream." Because the title of the book, Swapna Vilas Amrita. Do you understand that? Swapna, dream. Vilas, pastime. Amrita, nectarian. Nectarian pastimes in a dream. So she told Krishna, "I had this most amazing dream." And Krishna said, "Oh, tell me." And Radharani said, "In this dream, I was in a place, beautiful place, like Vrindavan, But it wasn't Vrindavan. It was a little different, but it was very similar, but it was different. And there was a beautiful big river there, like the Yamuna, but it was different. It was a little different. And there were many devotees there, like here. But they were dressed a little different. They looked a little different. And those devotees were having kirtan, chanting and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just like we do here. But the way they were chanting and playing their instruments, it was a little different. A little different. But very similar, but a little different. And Radharani said, there was one big, very big Brahmin devotee. Brahmin devotee. He was very tall, like 8 feet tall. Very tall. And extremely beautiful. And he was dancing in this kirtan so gracefully, it was incredible. And his body was a golden color, like rich molten gold, just like my body. I never saw anyone looking like me before. Because Radharani, her body is the color of molten gold. Did you ever see molten gold? When it's actually so hot it runs. In the Rand used to show, I haven't been there for years and years, but many years ago, first time I went there, they had a thing where they poured the gold and make gold bars. And if you were able to pick it up, you could take it. But it was molten, so nobody tried. But that gold is amazing. It's effulgent. It has its own effulgence. So Radharani is saying like this. And this devotee, so the color of his body was just like mine. I couldn't believe it. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just like I chant, with great emotion, great feeling. I've never seen anyone with feelings like that at all. Except for me. And I was thinking, is he me? Is he me? And then, suddenly his mood changed. And he started crying out, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe! What did he cry out?
Radhe, Radhe, Radhe! Radhe!
With great emotion, just like you call out my name. And then I thought, is he you? Is he me? Is he you? Is he both of us? Who is this person? Then Krishna said, let me show you something I've never shown you before. Krishna pulled out his Kastuba gem, special gem, big gem, he carries around his neck. And he held it up in front of the eyes of Radharani. And she looked at this gem, and she looked into the gem. And you know what she saw? She saw the same scene that she had been dreaming of. And that same big Brahmin devotee. And she was amazed. And she said to Krishna, you know about this person already. You never told me about him. And Krishna said, yes, I've shown you so many of my forms. I showed you my form as Narayan, as Ram, as Nrisingadev, and so many other forms. But this form of mine is secret, is very special. Actually, this form is a combined form of you and me. And we will appear in the Kali Yuga and give the whole world love for us. Everybody, what to speak of the pious people and the nice people, the religious people, even the demoniac and low class ruffians, everybody. We will give them all pure love for us. And Radharani got so enthusiastic, and she said, I can't wait for that time. So that form of Lord Chaitanya then, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nahe Anya. He is none other than the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And as you know, I imagine so many of you know, often it is very difficult for Radha and Krishna to meet. You're aware of that? So many obstacles are there. Many obstacles. And even if they meet, then their meeting may be broken up. Someone may come and interrupt them. But the form of Lord Chaitanya is very special because it is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. They are together permanently, constantly, in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore the pastimes, the nature and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see the descriptions. They are considered unique. Unique. Very, very extraordinary. So Lord Chaitanya appeared, and it was 527 years ago, on March the 27th, he appeared, and he started the Sankirtan movement of distributing the chanting all over, on a big scale. He himself was chanting, leading the chanting, he himself, and leading the distribution. And Lord Chaitanya, he married, but when he was 24, he took sannyas. You know what is sannyas? I think you know. The renounced order, where normally people take sannyas after they've been married, like in their later days, 50, 60, that sort of time, right in the last part of their lives. and they give up the family and just go and just preach and teach and give people Krishna consciousness. This is the life of the sannyasi, the renounced order of life. So, Lord Chaitanya did that, but he was 24. And his wife, Vishnu Priya, she is actually Sita Devi, a form of Sita Devi, Vishnu Priya. So she was just in separation. She was 16. She lived to be 96. 80 years just in separation and simply crying. However, we know, interesting point, we know that love for the Lord in separation from Him is considered the highest form of love for Him, most intense. Because you know what it's like. When you marry a person, then you're with them 24 hours a day. And after a while it becomes like, yeah, okay. You sort of get used to it. And I like, I heard rumors. And you gradually get to learn everything that is wrong with the person. You sort of learn the person till you've got them down. And then it's not so exciting. But when you're separated from someone you're very attached to, you know, particularly like, for example, when if the person dies, you feel it. You really feel it. So love and separation is considered to be more intense than love in union or meeting. And Lord Chaitanya, he was giving everyone love for Krishna, love for Radha and Krishna. But particularly he was teaching and demonstrating that love in separation, because it's the highest experience. So, there is another story. Let me tell you this one. This is a good one. This story, we were mentioning Lord Ram. This story is about Ram in connection with Lord Chaitanya. Ram was banished. How many years? 14 years. He was banished. And Sita came up to him and said, okay, where are we going? And Lord Ram said, what do you mean we? We are not going. I am going. I have been banished. You haven't been. So I am going tomorrow. And Sita said, no, we are going. And Ram, so there's a little bit of a debate, who is going? And Sita was totally insistent that even if you forbid me to come, I'm coming. Because my place is with my husband. Of course, not every husband is like Lord Ram. He's special. He's special with everything. So there they went, and Lakshman went also. His wife didn't go. What's the name of Lakshman's wife? Devotees. Come on, devotees. What was that? The sound of silence. Lakshman's wife, her name is Urmila. Did Urmila come here? Or Mirla Mataji?
No.
She didn't make it here?
No.
Okay, anyway. We have this very senior lady called Urmila. She was just in South Africa a few weeks ago. So anyway, somehow Urmila did not go. I don't know what the idea was behind that. So anyway, they were traveling around during this exile, and at some point they went to Navadweep. Navadweep, that's the area of Lord Chaitanya. That's where he appeared and lived until he was 24. So until he took sannyas. So Sita and Ram and Lakshman, they were there in that area, and particularly they stayed for some days in one of the areas or islands. Dweep means island. Nava Dweep means nine islands. So one of those islands is called Modadroom Dweep. And there was big, massive, gigantic banyan tree there. They're living under the banyan tree. So one day, Sita Devi noticed that Lord Ram is sitting there under that tree with a big smile. Big smile. And just sort of, you know, looking into nowhere. He's just kind of absorbed within himself in something really wonderful. So Sita came and asked Lord Ram, "My Lord, what is it you're thinking about, which is just so captivating and pleasing?" And Lord Ram said, "Yes, I'm thinking of the most wonderful thing. You and I, we are going to appear here. We are going to take birth here and have our pastimes here and be together here as husband and wife." And Sita said, "Oh, that is wonderful. It's such a nice place, and we'll be together again. That is just wonderful." And Lord Ram said, "Yes, we will give love for us to everyone here. We will distribute love for us." And Sita said, "That is fantastic. I can't wait." And Lord Ram said, "And then after a while, I will give you the greatest gift of all, the most wonderful thing of all." And Sita said, "That is just the most wonderful thing. It's just wonderful. What is it? What's that wonderful thing?" Lord Ram said, "What I will do, I will give you the most wonderful thing in that I will take sannyas and leave you." And Sita was shocked. "What? How can you do that? You can't do that. That's terrible. That's heartless." And Lord Ram said, "No, no, no. In this way, you'll experience love for me in separation, which is the highest, most intense and rich experience of love of all." And Lord Ram said, I wanted to give you that gift now by going into exile, but you wouldn't let me because you insisted on coming. But then, when we appear that time, then I'll take sannyas and you will not be able to come with me. because we cannot be Mr. and Mrs. Swami. So, in this way, I will make sure that I give you this greatest gift. Because it's the greatest gift. It's many times richer and more wonderful than the love of meeting or union or being together. So this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. It's very amazing. And us as devotees, as aspiring devotees, we should know, on one hand, first thing, we have to become Krishna conscious. We have to become Krishna conscious, of course, ourselves. But then we have to give people Krishna consciousness. Yes. This is our business as devotees. To become Krishna conscious and then to give Krishna consciousness. And this is, well, it is all the Yuga Dharma. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar, demonstrating and teaching the process of religion for this age. And he taught and demonstrated the Sankirtan Yajna, chanting the holy names, but not just chanting the holy names, Sankirtan, chanting together with others and giving the chanting to the whole world. So, yeah, so like this, we should try and get that sort of perspective on our lives in Krishna consciousness. And think, how can I help in the Sankirtan movement of giving people Krishna consciousness? What can I do? Some of you can go out and distribute books. And this way give people Krishna consciousness. Some can go out in chanting parties and chant in public down the main street. What's the name of the main street? Kerkstraat? Alan! What happened to Kerkstraat? Allen Street.
After Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, okay. Go down Allen Street, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Yeah. And others of you can cook nice prasadam and distribute it. Or others can distribute it. And if it's cooked with devotion and offered with devotion, then when the people eat it, they will pick up that devotion. Oh, yes. It's extremely powerful. Very devotional prasadam. And others of you may, well, you could put on festivals like the Ratha Yatra. Some of you may be able to talk to people and just explain things. This is the Sankirtan movement. And if we do it nicely, we will become extremely inspired and like extremely enthusiastic in our Krishna consciousness. Our whole Krishna consciousness will turn around and become something very dynamic and wonderful. And we'll just enjoy so much nectar. And people who contact us, they'll pick it up also. That's the nature of Krishna consciousness. So therefore we should all cultivate our own Krishna consciousness nicely. Really chant nicely. Get into the kirtan nicely. And dance in the kirtan. Giriraj Maharaj told me one experience he had. He and Tamal Krishna Goswami another very old disciple of Prabhupada. They were in Bombay in Prabhupada's time, arranging for the building permissions to build our temple, which is now there in Juhu, Bombay. But it was not built then. They're trying to make the arrangements and all that. So one day, they went and visited so many officers and tried to make progress in getting the permissions. They got just refused every place they went. They got nowhere. And they came back to the temple in the evening, and they were feeling really like, phew, that was tough. And they went into the kirtan, the arati was going on. They went into the arati. Prabhupada was there. And the arati is going on, the kirtan is going on, the devotees are chanting and dancing. But they are feeling like, phew, life is tough. So they are just standing there like, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the arati finished, Prabhupada gave class. And in the class, Prabhupada said, even if the city officials do not give their permission, still you must dance in kirtan. So we should all dance in the kirtan. The more we get into it, the more we'll get out of it. Don't just wait until you start feeling, oh yeah, now I feel good, now I'll dance. But, you know, if you get into it like that, then it will come. Krishna will give his mercy. So this is the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Subhabu. Rajan. Please.
Does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have a planet of his own?
No. He is on Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna. Part of Goloka Vrindavan is his part, is Navadvip. Yes. Yes, it's described in Brahma Samhita. Well, yeah, it is described in Brahma Samhita. But it's described more clearly in Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, yeah. And if you look, it's not maybe so well depicted, but if you look on the cover of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the blue, it's blue, and it's got various spiritual planets, and it's got Goloka Vrindavan. Then, as I recall, Krishna's there with the gopis, but Lord Chaitanya, I think, is there also. Yeah. So that's the way it is. Good question. Do you want to go to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or Krishna's? Okay. You can go to both too, simultaneously. Thank you.
Thank
good,
you
much.
Good
one.
Yes, thank you
much. Subhau Prabhu, enlighten us.
Well, Maharaj, I have a question. The Lord says that if you understand the nature of his transcendental birth and disappearance, you will not take birth again. But what does it mean? How do we achieve that understanding? Or when do we achieve it?
Yes, well, it means, in simple terms, yeah, that's chapter 4, verse 9. Janma Karma Chametivyam. In simple terms, it means when you understand, it's like you're convinced. You got it. You got it. Yes. Krishna's appearance and activities are divyam. They're divine. They're transcendental. When you've gone beyond just the theoretical stage, or like, yeah, well, maybe, I hope so, But when you're convinced, because he says, evam yoveti tatvataka, when you've understood in truth, it doesn't necessarily mean when you've just realized it absolutely and you're there in it, but at least when you've accepted wholeheartedly. And as a result of that, or as sort of part and parcel of that, you're completely absorbed in practicing Krishna consciousness. And, you know, not holding back from your service and your Krishna conscious activities. Is that okay?
Yes. Another question.
Okay.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared many hundred years ago in India. The time, place and circumstances are very different from what we find ourselves in today,
yeah.
First century. So he demonstrated how to be Krishna conscious, but what is applicable from that era? Is it?
Well, see, the thing is, he was demonstrating the yoga dharma, the process which is the most practical and effective for the whole yuga, not just for that time. So the process of chanting the holy names and spreading the chanting is the process in the 21st century and 22nd and 23rd, you know, for the yuga, actually. Even though, you know, it's sort of like in the time of Lord Chaitanya, everyone was breathing, everyone was eating, and now in the 21st century, everyone's breathing, everyone's eating. You know, to some degree, some, at least like eating habits may change to some degree, but everyone's eating. So, you know, like Prabhupada emphasized book distribution in terms of giving people Krishna consciousness and chanting, but he did give some special emphasis to book distribution. In the times of Lord Chaitanya, there were no, well, they had books, but they were all handwritten. There was no mass production of books. So you couldn't really, you know, go out down Allen Street and do 100 Bhagavad Gitas, because each Bhagavad Gita would have to be written out, and it might take, I don't know, months. It might take months to write each one and tell people, okay, just pay now. Come back in 5 years, we'll have your Bhagavad Gita ready. So some things, some trappings, external trappings, may change a little bit, but the fundamental activities, what's going on, it doesn't change. Is that okay? Let me just hang on. I was told the ladies in ISKCON Newcastle are very intelligent and thoughtful. So I want to ask the ladies if they have some questions and comments. Ladies? I guess they understood everything. They don't have any questions. You have another point you wanted to make?
Well, just the last question. Regarding the squirrel and the spider trying to help, I was just thinking in terms of our interaction with people of other faiths. How do we, you know, we are interacting with them more and more. So how do we cultivate an appreciation, but not in a naive sense, but actually that they do have a genuine, how do we know?
How do we know? No. Or how do we
appreciate people who are trying to contribute?
Yes, well, you try and see amongst their whatever different activities they're doing, which activities really are valid. And you'll find there are some which are valid, even though some may well not be. But at least you'll find there are some which are valid, and then appreciate that. And then, you know, in your interactions with them, express your appreciation for that. And try and, in a nice way, without being too, you know, like, forceful, try and give them some access to Krishna consciousness in ways which are relevant to them, in terms of their situations, who they are, what sort of people they are. And then even Prabhupada would say, you know, if you find something in Krishna consciousness you like, you can add it to your Christianity or your Islam or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, that's different from what happens often. It's sort of like a confrontational approach, very competitive approach. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Oh, look. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Sorry, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, this movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, obviously because his age of Kali, it would probably last a certain period of time. Does it mean that there will come a time where everybody is Krishna conscious?
Pretty much.
Okay, that's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question then is, how valid is the urgency in developing of your Krishna consciousness?
Of your own.
Yes, considering that the time is really so insignificant that if you don't really take advantage of the time that you have now, how significant is that in actually imbibing the process as a matter of urgency?
It's very significant, it's very urgent. When your house is burning, if your house is burning down, we hope it's not, but in Kali Yuga it's like the house is burning down, the world is sort of burning down. So when you're in your house, if you happen to be in your house and your house is actually burning down, then you don't sort of sit down and say, well, what's on television? Let's have a meal and then perhaps we'll get out. If your house is burning down, you just got to get out. So, of course, it happens sometimes, and I even had experience once. I was in a building in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and the building was burning down, and we did not know. And we were carrying on. But, and then at some point one of the devotees said, do I smell smoke? And the rest of us said, nah. And then just a little later, someone said, you know, I can really smell smoke. What's going on? So then it's like, oh yeah, well, I wonder what is going on. So we sort of started looking around, but not really acting very strongly. I mean, looking into it. And then we saw, hey, this building is burning down. And we just grabbed everything and got out. So, this world is burning down, sort of. It's incredible, actually. You know, when I was young in the sort of the hippie days, the mid-60s, later 60s, there was this whole movement against materialism amongst the, like, the majority really of the young Western people. Pointing out what's wrong with it, and capitalism, and exploitation, and what's wrong with it all. Now, as far as I can see, the situation is much worse. It's deteriorated dramatically from those days, like, say, 45 years ago. Oh, it's like global warming. It's unreal. The whole situation is really much worse. So, in other words, the fire has built up. But the people in general, they think, oh, it's okay. Oh, there's a few problems here and there, but, let's carry on. The devotees are more aware than the average person. But still, the devotees really need to to increase their awareness. And you increase your awareness by studying the books, sort of, gearing up your consciousness to be more aware what is actually happening here. So when you look and you see the world, then you understand, hey, yeah, this is really, as I read, it's really bad. And then through chanting nicely, the consciousness becomes clearer and we become more perceptive. So there's a great need to work on those things, and then gradually we'll start waking up that, hey, I got to do something here. I've got to develop my Krishna consciousness. It's not just, let's come on Wednesday night and meet our friends and have a nice feast. And they're going to give a lecture, I'll be thinking about what I'll do tomorrow. And they give the lecture, planning the rest of the week. No. If we really apply ourselves, we'll become more aware. And as we become more aware of the reality of this world, we'll feel the impetus that I've got to become more serious. And I've also got to help others. Yeah? So, very good. We want to see. You know what we want to see? Among other things. We want to see that ISKCON Newcastle becomes one of the most dynamic yatras of Krishna consciousness in the world. Before we start patting ourselves on the backs, we got to get up and do it. This is the thing. And really become Krishna conscious ourselves. And really get into the mood of giving it to others with book distribution, festivals, etc. And then, one of the main things that will happen if we get into things more like that is we will become so much more happy and inspired, enthused, and our lives will really become better even than they are now. And now they're already better than they were some time ago. Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Thank you for listening very patiently. Now I guess we'll have a little, we're going to do this. Okay. And what are we going to do?